For a message this morning, you can turn to Philippians chapter 3. Trust that God can be honored through our time here today, and especially through His Word as we look into it. Here in Philippians 3, I believe we looked at some of these verses in the Sunday school lesson last Sunday, and I think they go well with, along with what I plan to share here this morning. But by way of getting to my thoughts this morning, many of us here are residents of New York State. We drive vehicles with the New York State registration, New York State license plates on them. And here, I believe it was last year, New York State changed the design of their license plate, which I might add was much to my liking because I never cared so much for those other plates. I think they called them gold plates or something like that. I don't know. I thought it was a horrible combination of yellow and orange and blue. I'm not sure what it was. But that's just my personal opinion. But they changed the design of that plate to something much nicer, in my opinion. I still drive a car with the old ones on, so don't feel bad if you do too. But there's quite a few of those newer style license plates around the new New York plates. The other morning I was on my way to work. There's one in the car ahead of me that I saw, and what caught my eye was a word on that plate. I hadn't thought much of it before. Actually, as I started looking, I don't believe they all have that word on them. I don't know if it's the commercial plates that don't have that. There's a word in the center, the lower center of that license plate, and I just like to write that up here. Hopefully my marker works good enough that you can read this. Well, let's see. Watch my spelling here. Excelsior. I don't believe it was on the old style plate. And I haven't done enough research to know which plates it's on currently and which it's not. But I saw that on the one license plate that was in front of me. And as I found out, well, I believe I remember from back in school, that word is the motto, the state motto for New York State. You know, each state has their own little motto or catchphrase. And Excelsior is the one for New York. Hopefully you can somewhat read it up there anyway. But as I saw that, I said, you know, I don't even know if I know what that word means. I've seen it plenty of times. And I kind of forgot about it till later. I remembered and I said, oh, I want to look that up. And went to my little Webster's student dictionary that I have at home, and well, here it didn't even have it in it. Didn't even have that word. Well, come to find out, it's a Latin word. Well, I had to go to my phone and look it up. And it means, essentially, does anybody know what it means? That's all right, I'll write it up. Means ever upward. Put that in our English into English for us. Sorry, I know the writing's not very bright up there. I think there's other words that could be used to describe it in our language, like higher and onward and upward, and some things like that. But as I thought about that, I thought, you know, wow, right here on our license plates is the motto of New York, but it's also a good motto for us, I believe, as followers of Jesus Christ, as we endeavor to pattern our lives after the example of Jesus Christ. And I'd just like us to think about that phrase a little bit this morning, ever upward. And think about it in regards to our Christian walk of life, and especially my personal Christian walk of life. And if you forget most of what I say this morning, hopefully those words can stick with you. So what are we talking about when we say ever upward? What are we talking about when we say that's a good motto to have? As I thought about that, I thought, you know, why do you think the founding fathers of New York State, what do you think they had in mind when they chose that for the state motto? It was way back in 1778, I believe. Well, none of us were here back then, so we don't know. And I'm not sure exactly why that word was chosen. But probably it came from the drive that we all have to want to succeed. We want to do well. We don't want to be a failure at what we do. We want to do well. Thank you. And it probably represented the zeal of the citizens of New York at that time to strive or reach for higher goals through maybe hard work or persistence. And we see the word excel in that word. Excelsior. Excel. We like to excel at what we do. Whether it's being a mechanic or farmer or whatever it is you do. We want to do a good job. We want to get better at it if possible. That's a good mentality, I believe, that we should have at whatever we do. But most of all, in being a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, I think that's a good mentality to have. That we want to grow, we want to do better. We want to be more and more like Jesus Christ in thoughts, in words, and in actions. And we want to have victory in maybe ways that we failed before. Excelsior, ever upward. Maybe we could change that phrase and say, ever Godward, ever Godward. We want to be headed closer to God in our Christian life. Every day making choices that have us drawing closer to Him. And as I thought of some of these things, I was drawn to some of Paul's words here in Philippians 3. And we're going to read most of this chapter, I believe. But Paul here in the first part of the chapter, Philippians 3, he was talking about some of the things that he considered valuable before he met Jesus Christ. And I think we'll break in reading here at verse 7. And read till the end. Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, this is Paul talking, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Maybe for a title, this morning I would simply use the word Excelsior, or you can use the English version if you care to. In reading over these verses, I didn't see the words, any of these words, the words ever upward, in here at all. In fact, I don't think the word upward is even used in our New Testament. But as I read these verses, and especially verses 12 to 14 here, I see Paul here, you could say, being Excelsior minded. He had an ever upward mentality. Verse 12, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. In verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul here seems to be saying, I haven't arrived yet. I have not reached perfection. I haven't reached where I want to be in my Christian life. But he says in verse 14, I'm pressing on. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm ever pressing upward, I think he's saying. Verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, he says. And that word conversation literally means citizenship, I believe. Our citizenship is in heaven. Once again, Paul had an ever upward outlook. And he encourages us as readers in the same, I believe. He instructs us to, us as followers of Jesus Christ and those people, the Philippians there, to live as citizens of heaven. To look for the time when the Lord will receive us to heaven, verse 21, will change our earthly bodies into glorious heavenly ones. And the question I would ask this morning is, how do I and all of us as Christians, how do we keep that kind of outlook? To keep in mind that our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven, not here in Romulus or Geneva or Auburn or the Finger Lakes region of New York, but we're citizens of the heavenly country. And how do we keep an ever upward outlook as we spend our time here on the earth, not let the daily grind, so to speak, distract us from that viewpoint? A few considerations as I thought about that. from some of these verses and some others as well. And looking over some of the verses here, the earlier verses of this chapter, Paul here, he reflects on his past life a bit. He says in verse 4, putting it somewhat into my own words, if any of you think that you have credentials in your life, things that you can trust in, he says, I have more. He said, I had those things. And I had about as many bragging rights as any person could have, I think he's saying. He says, I was raised a devout Jewish boy, and I was taught to the letter of the law. And I think he says at one place that he was taught by Gamaliel, who was the best teacher of the day. And he was a Pharisee, he says, just best of the class, if I can read that into this. And he says, I had some things that I was proud of. I had my own righteousness in the Jewish law, and those things were gained to me, he says in verse 7. But what does he say further on in verse 7? He says, those things that were gained to me, those things that I was proud of, that I trusted in, I counted those things loss. Counted those things loss for Christ. Because I had to lay those things. I had to lay those things down. I had to lay aside my own righteousness. Verse 9. Not having my own righteousness. Well, isn't it the same for you and I today? Those things in my past that I might be tempted to have pride in, whatever they may be. I think Willie already mentioned in the devotional this morning, you know, maybe I had a good Mennonite upbringing. Even things like that are good and right and a blessing to us. Any pride in those things needs to go. Anything that I might put my confidence in that would detract from Jesus Christ, whatever that would be, that needs to go. It needs to be counted as loss for Jesus Christ. Well, maybe this morning you're here and you're thinking, well, that's not a problem with me. I have absolutely nothing in my past to be proud of. In fact, all I have in my past is a bunch of failures and defeats and losses. Nothing to be proud of. Well, I would ask, are those things in your life keeping you from continuing upward in your walk with Christ? You see, Paul, I believe, had plenty of those things in his past life too. And he touches just a bit on that in verse 6, I believe. He says, I persecuted the church. I persecuted the church. He'd helped put followers of Jesus in prison and some to death. At least Stephen, for sure, he took part in his death. Paul had things in his past that could have drug him down. That he could have said, I've messed it up way too bad. There's no way God can use me. But what does Paul say here in verse 13? He says, forgetting those things. Forgetting those things that which are behind me and reaching forth to those things that are before. You see, Paul was not letting those past sins and failures in his life to keep him from victory in the future. He was pressing ever upward. And so I believe he's an example for us in that. Don't let those past failures in your life keep you from victory tomorrow. Take those things to the cross and leave them there with Jesus and move onward and ever upward. So what about the present? Right now in your Christian life and mine, you know, having a motto of ever upward really kind of implies, doesn't it, that I'm not totally satisfied with where I'm at right now. You know, the statesmen of New York in 1778 that adopted Excelsior as their slogan, you know, they probably did with the future in mind. They had goals. They had a vision for the future success of the state. They had a vision for continued progress in the state. How about you and I in our Christian lives? Do any of us feel like we have attained in the Christian life? I'm just satisfied with where I'm at right now in the Christian life. Well, I certainly hope not. I think the ever upward mentality or way of thinking doesn't feel that way. Never feels like I've got to about where I want to be. I about have it figured out. Paul here says in verses 12 and 13, says, I have not attained or reached perfection, but I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm continuing to strive for it, continuing to strive for perfection. And this is the Apostle Paul here speaking, the church leader and the evangelist and the writer of so many of these books, who helped many people turn to Christ and helped many of the early churches. But he says, not as though I had already attained. In verse 15, he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. What's he saying here? I think he's saying that as many of you as would be perfect, if it's your desire to be perfect, well then, be thus minded, like I am. And that is to press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we never get to where we attain in this life, do we? Some more thoughts as we think about ever upward. Am I satisfied this morning that the diet I'm feeding my soul on is the kind that is helping my soul ever upward? The other week I was riding along with my brother-in-law and he dropped me off at the local family farm and home store, I believe it was. And he said, while you're in there, get me a bag of dog food. And I went in there and talk about hard choices for dog owners. There was at least two aisles strictly of dog food. And I called him up and I said, what do you want? We're going to have to narrow this down a bit here. And he said, well, why don't you look for the Diamond brand? I think that's a pretty good brand. Look for that one. Well, that helped me out, but there were still probably a dozen choices within that brand. You know, there was the premium formula, the high energy formula, the performance formula, the maintenance formula, and a host of others. And we decided on one. Well, this morning, maybe I shouldn't compare spiritual food and dog food. But what's the stuff like that you're feeding your soul? What's the music like that you're feeding your soul? And the books you read? Is it and are they honoring to God? You know, if they're not God honoring, can we say they're about like the, can I say, cheap dollar store trash food? And if so, I believe your motto may as well be, ever downward, because I believe that's the way, that's exactly the direction it will take you. But what about feeding your soul? Can I say the maintenance blend? I think the maintenance blend is just fine for dogs. Don't get me wrong. But can I use that term? You know, like, yeah, I read the Bible when I get to it, when I have time. I try to pray, but not real dedicated about it. Hopefully it maintains my spiritual life. Is that my attitude? Is that how I feed my soul? And I would ask you, is your spiritual life going to be able to not just be maintained, but grow with that kind of a diet, with that kind of an outlook? Is it going to be able to grow ever upward? If we want to continue to grow, should we not rather choose, can I say, the premium food? A verse from Job 23, verse 12b, I believe it is, says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I believe that's a good verse for us to remember. Do we esteem God's word as highly as we esteem our natural food? And some of us like our natural food pretty good. Verse 16. Nevertheless, he says, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. I think Paul is saying here, the things you have attained in your Christian life, the progress you have made, the things you have been victorious in with God's help, hang on to those things. Don't let them go. Keep building on those things and use them as steps upward in your Christian life. Each victory will help you some other to win, I think is what he is implying there. 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul tells Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Continue ever upward. Verse 17 here. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. I think Paul is saying here, Christian brothers and sisters, you have my example, and you have the example of other faithful brothers and sisters who are a faithful example the same way I am in the Christian life. And he says, follow them. He says, mark them. Take note, I believe he's saying. Take note of their lives and pattern your life after their godly example, after their godly walk of life. Some more verses here as I thought of growing ever upward. One from 2 Peter 3. I won't turn to this one. Verse 18, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another one, I'll turn to this one, 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. Peter says here, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can see from these verses here that we have plenty of room to grow, don't we? These are things that we'll never finish. We'll never exhaust growing in while we live here, I believe. In closing here, back to Philippians 3. These last two verses. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. You know, brothers and sisters, one of these days we're going to attain, either through death or through Jesus' return. After we pressed onward and pressed upward, we'll attain perfection and we'll receive an incorruptible inheritance, I believe the Bible says, and a crown of life that fadeth not away, and a new glorious body, it says here. But in the meanwhile, excelsior. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.